This is a service that I always look forward to at the end of the year. We typically try to do communion together on the end of the year, as well as most years out of the last 12 or 15 years or however long it's been I've been here, we try to have opportunity for us to share of God's faithfulness, God's goodness that we've experienced in the last year, in this year, in 2023. So we're going to be doing both those things this morning as we've gathered together. So you can be thinking right now a little bit, if God lays something on your heart that you want to share, of just his faithfulness that you've experienced in the last year, that would be wonderful. We'd love to have you participate in that. If you're joining us from home, you'll want to make sure that you get some communion elements ready, as we'll be taking communion together at the end of the service as well. So before we kind of open up the floor for people to share, I just wanted to take a few minutes and mention some passages that are found within Scripture and reasons why this practice, what we're talking about today, why it's good for us to do together as a body of Christ. It's not just, there are reasons why it's good. Let's leave it at that. So the first thing is God's faithfulness is a foundation. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23, it says, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. It says his mercies never come to an end. That they're new every morning, and great is your faithfulness. Our journey with God is built on the unwavering foundation of God's faithfulness. And by sharing this truth, I think we strengthen the faith of others that we share with and remind ourselves of the unchanging nature of our God. We'll hear today from people, I'm certain, of people that have gone through very difficult things in 2023. But God remained unchanging and God remained faithful. Secondly, encouragement in difficult times comes through sharing with each other. In Psalm 23, verse 4, it says, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Even in our darkest moments of life, our darkest valley, God remains faithful. By sharing our experiences of his faithfulness during trials, we offer kind of a beacon of hope to those that are navigating their own challenging seasons. Our testimonies become a source of encouragement and a reminder that God is with us, guiding us through the storms of life that we face. I think that these kind of times of sharing together strengthens the body of Christ. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, 25, it says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." As members of the body of Christ, we are called to spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Sharing about God's faithfulness fosters a sense of unity and solidarity among believers. It helps us recognize the common thread of his faithfulness that's woven through the diversity of all those that gather together. I think another important piece of sharing God's faithfulness is it's a witness to the world. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. When we pause and take time to share our testimonies, our testimonies of God's faithfulness are important, powerful tools for evangelism. But by openly sharing about God's faithfulness, we become living testimonies that draw others to the light of Christ. Our transformed lives as believers serve as a beacon, inviting those who are lost to experience the unwavering love of our faithful God. I think there's great gratitude in sharing about God's faithfulness. In Psalm 105, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts." Expressing gratitude is an integral part of worship. As we recount God's faithfulness, we cultivate a heart of thanksgiving. Our worship becomes richer and more sincere, flowing from a deeper awareness of God's consistent presence and goodness in our lives. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9 says, "Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and their children after them." Another important piece of sharing God's faithfulness is we pass down a spiritual legacy. Just as the Israelites were instructed to teach their children about God's faithfulness, we too have a responsibility to pass down a spiritual legacy to our children. And by sharing our stories, we contribute to the spiritual growth of future generations, ensuring that the testimony of God's faithfulness endures through time. And the last one I want to mention this morning is I think that as we take time together to share about God's faithfulness, it helps us in overcoming maybe fear or doubt that somebody in here might be facing today. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, it says, For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Fear and doubt can cripple our faith, but when we recall and share stories of God's faithfulness, we are reminded of his power and his love. But by testifying, by sharing of his faithfulness, we empower others to overcome maybe some of their fears or doubts that they're facing today because they're trusting in the God who is always faithful. They're hearing about that God. As we share about God's faithfulness, we are not only strengthened in our faith, but we also help strengthen each other in their journey. My prayer would be that this morning, as we pause and take time to do this, that everybody would be encouraged. Some are in here this morning that have experienced incredible things in 2023, and they may choose to share that. They may not. But if they do choose to share that, and maybe for you 2023 is a really tough year, my prayer is that hearing about God's faithfulness is an encouragement to you. Because God doesn't change. He's the same today as he was yesterday and will be tomorrow. His faithfulness doesn't change. So the hope is that we can encourage each other and praise our God as we take time to share this morning. So Simon, I'm going to have you come up if you would, grab the microphone. The way we're going to do this is if you have something that you would like to share, we're just going to ask you to stand, and then Simon will bring the microphone to you, and we'll have you share.
Some events that stand out in 2023. Number one, Jim Hess got a kidney. Amen. Spencer Grogan got married. Tim Rice got married. Yeah. Megan Bates and John got married. Yeah. And many new families have started coming to Fairland, and we really appreciate them. Then two more things. Kim Swartz organized one of the best Bible schools ever, vacation Bible schools, this summer. And Kim Swartz organized one of the best Christmas programs ever. My prayer for 2024 is that we'll continue to grow and also grow spiritually.
Amen.
I just have a praise. I had my niece Heather and also my sister battling cancer last year, and they are both cancer-free as of now.
Amen.
Nelson mentioned me this morning, and I could probably take up the whole morning saying how thankful I am. God is faithful. I appreciate the Fairland family. I'm doing well, and I thank God for good doctors. I could go down the list and mention many, many things that just went right this year. And God is to be praised for it. Thank you.
What I'm going to share, many of you may know and some may not know. This past summer, on July 22nd, we went to the Jigger Shop with my brother and his girlfriend. And we were getting into our cars. Dale and I were going across the street, and I heard my name screamed. Here, my brother got in his car, turned it on, put it in reverse, and completely went out. He was done. His heart had stopped. My sister-in-law-to-be had taken the wheel and never drove in her life. She backed it out of the parking spot across the street without hitting anybody or any car, and a do not park sign stopped them. That was a God moment. There were many God moments in this ordeal. I went over to check on my brother, and he was not responsive, and I said, we gotta get him out of the car right away. My brother is over 300 pounds. He's a big guy. And Dale got him out of the car and got him on the ground. And this woman runs to me and she says, I'm a doctor. And I said, praise the Lord. I said, would you please run the code? So they ran the code. This woman who said she was a doctor was from Ukraine, and she fled the country of Ukraine to get her little boy over here safely. That was another God moment. They did CPR for 40 minutes. His heart had stopped for 40 minutes. The ambulance finally got there, got him in the ambulance. Someone came out of the ambulance to say that his heart had started, and he was breathing. 40 minutes. We got him to Hershey. He was, of course, out of it for a few days. We thought there would be brain damage because of out of the oxygen for 40 minutes. However, God was involved, and my brother came back fully awake and alert after 40 minutes. And I just want to share that, yes, God is faithful. Don't ever give up, and don't ever stop looking for God moments, because they're all around you. My brother is a miracle, but God's hand was in this, and for some reason, my brother's still here. So don't ever give up. God is good.
Amen. I don't want to get morose, but I thoroughly enjoyed Gordy's funeral. And the reason I say it that way, he just lived the kind of life that we can celebrate, and I work with broken men all week. And we have an upcoming memorial in January because 7 of former guests died this past year. 3 of them I spent significant time with. And the thing that I just want to speak to and attest to this morning is the gospel of Jesus Christ is powerful. It is the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jew, then to the Greek, right, from Romans. And I have never had a job where I've been able to be blessed to be able to share that every day. And I just thank God for that. But also, probably one of the biggest tragedies of the previous year, I was planning on talking with my brother, my one brother who lived in Atlanta, when he got up here, and he died on the way. So the thing that I would just leave, and not to put a damper, but seize the day, folks. Seize the day. God operates today. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. It isn't about yesterday. It isn't about all the tomorrows. He's here today, and let's all pledge our hearts to seek hard after the Lord till he comes to rain righteousness on us. Thank you.
A lot of you have been praying for my granddaughter, Briella, and I just have a praise this year when it first started and her muscles, it's juvenile dermatomyositis, which probably nobody knows, but it's very rare, but they have about 10 cases up at Hershey. She gets a cancer shot every week, and she has been on steroids for 2.5 years. And they finally got to take her off the steroids, and they got to lower her cancer drug for the first time in November.
Wow.
But she's now running and walking and jumping and in gymnastics, and she couldn't even sit down without falling over when it first started. So I've got a great praise. Amen.
First and foremost, I'm Colin Benintendi. I know a lot of you guys donated toys for my kids and my family. Sorry, it's going to be emotional. This year has been quite a year. I was diagnosed with terminal stage 4 pancreatic cancer in March of this year. It's been a very difficult time for my wife, my kids, my family, and everyone. So I just want to say thank you guys so much for making my family and my kids' Christmases the best that they ever have. So I went to the doctor about 2 weeks ago to get a, sorry. 2 weeks ago, I went to the doctor, had another scan, and had some blood work done. I've turned to God through a lot of this. I've never prayed more in my entire life. I've asked for strength. A lot of people keep asking me why I don't look sick, why I don't act sick. What they don't see is what's behind closed doors. I've been through a lot. My family's been through a lot. I just kept asking to give me the strength that I need every day for my kids. My doctor called me last Wednesday. I thought I was going to be getting horrible news. The term that he used was spontaneous regression, There is no cancer in my body. The tumor has disappeared. And I just have... And I just want to thank God and our Savior for this. I get to see my little kids grow up. I have a 3-month-old son, Dawson. I have a 1-year-old, Sophie. I have 2 other boys that aren't with me today. I have a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old. And I'm going to get to finally see them grow up. And I'm just so thankful to have God in my life, because I know without him, none of this would be possible. Mm-hmm. And I just want to thank Veronica and her husband, Randy, for coming into our lives and blessing us with everything that this life has to offer. And I'm just so thankful for all of you. Thank you.
So I'm going to read this on behalf of Judy Reif, who couldn't be here today because she's traveling, but she wanted this to be read this morning. God has worked so much in my life this past year. I entered this year suicidal and so down in the dumps. I thought that not too many people cared and that God had given up on me. A lot of you guys stayed by my side and encouraged me. You all showed me God's love and how much he loves me. God is amazing. My life changed so much this year. For the first time, for as long as I can remember, I'm ending the year happy and so blessed. God has truly worked in my life, and a bunch of you guys helped. On January 3rd, I will have a year out of the hospital, and that hasn't happened since I was 19, and I'm 38. Also, January 23rd is a year of not self-harming, and that hasn't happened since I was 8 years old. I have God and all of my support from people here at Fairland to thank. I was baptized this year, and I have never felt so close to God until that day. I will never forget it. You guys showed me love, and God's love has literally saved my life. Thanks to Megan Paxton for not giving up on me and inviting me for 4 years to come to church. You all have showed me God's faithfulness. And if you know Judy's story at all and have watched how the Lord has changed her life and saved it, it's beautiful.
So my grandma passed away this last July. She also had pancreatic cancer. Throughout 2023, I probably prayed for about 20 last times. Last time I could see her, if you could just let me see her this last time, I'll be good. It'll be fine. About 20 times I've prayed that same thing. And in July, she became unresponsive and in pain, couldn't talk. Wasn't even aware that you were in the room with her. So I put my kids in the car and I made that 10-hour trip down for the truly last time. And when I got there, my grandma was lucid, able to talk, gave me a big hug, and I was truly able to say goodbye and have my last time with her. And I am truly grateful for God for allowing that to happen.
It was a very difficult year. We had brokenness and sadness beyond what I would have imagined. But 2023 was a year of healing. and forgiveness. I can't explain the experience of the Holy Spirit. I've tried to put it into words, but it's something that has to be experienced individually. God's Spirit is real. And a lot of people get uncomfortable when you start talking about spirituality. God and Jesus, it's okay. But when you talk about spiritual things, it can be uncomfortable for some people. But God's Spirit is there for the asking. And it's always there. And you can hear God's voice if you listen. That's really all I can say to explain it. It is there for the asking. And you will hear him if you listen.
All right, we don't want to miss anybody, but at the same time, we're going to move on if nobody else. All right, thank you, Simon. Wow, we've had a year as a church body, and some of it I knew, some of it I didn't know, and I'm going to guess that's the same for each one of you that's sitting in here this morning. I think we just need to give God a big praise offering this morning as... His faithfulness is incredible, and I hope that you heard that this morning. I hope you're encouraged by that this morning. Thank you for each of you that shared as well. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to end our time together by coming to the communion table. The last couple weeks, I've mentioned a couple different times the idea of Jesus' life as we were talking about Christmas and his birth. But we talked about the bookends a little bit. We talked about the birth being one bookend and death being the other, and both are so critically important in the walk of the believer. So this morning, last Sunday, obviously, we talked about the birth of Jesus. This morning, we're going to kind of go to the other bookend, and we're going to talk about the death of Jesus a little bit and do what we're instructed to do in remembrance of his willingness to go to the cross for each one of us. I think it's a very appropriate way to end out or begin a new year. So I want to share with you from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to have you turn there if you're using one of the church Bibles. If my memory serves me well, it's page 812. If my memory doesn't serve me well, somebody in here is going to let us know that, and we'll get you the right page. So 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says, "For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread or drink of the cup." So I'm going to share just a few quick thoughts before we come to the table and conclude our last service in 2023 with communion. The first thought is this. We should remember as we come to the table, as we prepare for this moment in service, Christ's sacrifice. As we partake in the bread and the cup this morning, We remember the ultimate sacrifice of our Savior, the bookend, right? The death of Jesus. The broken bread symbolizes Christ's body given for us. The cup represents his blood shed for our sins. Communion serves as a powerful reminder of the price paid for our redemption because God loves us so deeply. So we should remember Christ's sacrifice. We should remember the significance of communal unity. Communion fosters a sense of unity among believers. It should, at least. As we share in communion together, we acknowledge our shared identity in Christ, surpassing individual differences and denominational boundaries and all that kind of stuff, right? It's about a relationship with Jesus, period, that we come and recognize at the table. This unity, I think, is vital as we embark into a new year, as we face the challenges that a new year are going to bring and the opportunities that it's going to bring. The importance, the significance of being unified because of the death of our Lord and Savior. We should remember to examine ourselves, the passage says in verse 28. Before partaking in communion this morning, right now, I would encourage you to just pause in your mind and to examine yourself. As we enter into the new year, I would encourage you on a regular basis to take time to just examine where you are with God. And sometimes that means that you just got to pause in life and think and repent, or surrender, or turn something over to God. Communion is a sacred moment for us really to lay our burdens before the Lord, to seek his forgiveness and cleansing for a fresh start. So we are to examine ourselves. We should remember to anticipate Christ's return as we come to the table today. The Apostle Paul reminds us that we eat the bread and drink the cup. We proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So communion is not only a remembrance of the past, but it's also anticipation about the future until he comes. As we enter the new year, let's do so with hopeful expectation of Christ's return. We need to live our lives each and every day in a way that reflects our expectation of Christ returning. And we're reminded of that as we come to the table. And lastly, we should remember that communion, it's kind of a spiritual reset for us to some degree. Communion serves as a spiritual reset button in our lives. In the midst of life's busyness and challenges, this sacred act that we're about to do together provides an opportunity to kind of recalibrate or refocus ourselves on Christ. Just as the new year is kind of a time for resolutions and fresh starts, communion allows us to align our hearts afresh with the purpose and mission Christ has for each one of us. So this morning, as we share in Holy Communion together at the dawn of this brand new year that's ahead of us, I pray, I hope that it can be a time of deep reflection and unity and renewal. I pray, I hope that the symbolic elements of the bread and the cup remind us of Christ's sacrifice, the unity that we share as the body and the anticipation of his glorious return. As we enter into this new year with hearts full of gratitude for God's faithfulness that we just shared as a body together, we should also enter into it with a renewed commitment to follow our Lord faithfully. As we do communion here at Fairland, I'll just remind those of you that are here that the table is open to anybody that has a relationship with Jesus Christ and understands why it is we're doing what we do. So you don't need to be a member here. You don't need to be a certain age. You are welcome to participate. You're encouraged to participate if you have a relationship with Jesus and understand why it is that we take communion together. From the practical side, we'll just start from the front and we'll come down the center aisles and then make our way to the outsides and back to our chairs. Once you've come and taken the bread and taken the cup and gone back to your seats, I would encourage you just to spend a moment with God. You can do that individually, as a couple, as a family, as friends, however you choose to do that. Time is great, and then you can eat and drink the elements when you're ready to do so. As soon as I'm done praying here, they're going to start some music in the background. They'll just play as you come, and we end our service together with communion. Lord God, we pause this morning to thank you that in your rich love for us, you saw fit to send a Savior, which we celebrate this season of the year in Christmas, the birth of Jesus and the miracle of that. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop at the manger. It goes to the cross. That love that you have. So we pause this morning, Lord God, as we end 2023 and move into 2024. And we thank you that your love for us is so deep, so rich, that you allowed Jesus to pay the price for my sins, for my iniquities, for each one in this room. May we be reminded this morning as we take communion together, as we drink the cup and eat the bread, may we be reminded of the depth of your love for each one of us. Pray this in your holy name. Amen.